Hello guys, here we meet again at UBB Radio Online at our weekly show Eurotalk in this special day of Saint Nicholas. I'm Roxana Persa.
And I'm Mihaela Trombitaș. And as you already got used to it, we meet every Thursday from 6 to 7 to an hour full of European information. What do we have prepared for them today, Roxana?
Today we will talk about some special subjects such as the European Youth Capital in 2015, which is Cluj-Napoca. Then we will go on with the special day, which is St. Nicholas. And then, Mihaela?
Then we will talk about the most important European subject, as I already mentioned. We will talk a little bit about some important events that are going to take place in Europe. And at the same time, we will talk some little details about what happened in the European Union over the last few days. But for now, let's just start with the beginning.
As we said earlier, today is St. Nicholas Day, so it is a special moment all over the world.
So, did you get something for St. Nicholas last night? I think that you actually did, because it was your birthday. So I think that we should all say happy birthday to Roxana, because today is her birthday.
Yeah, it is a special day for me, but let's not talk about it and go on with the history of St. Nicholas Day. Although, thank you, Mihaela. Well, let's see next what St. Nicholas Day means. It is said that he usually appears in his bishop's cloak and hat, but this elderly gentleman also wears the familiar white beard. The tradition of St. Nicholas Eve in Eastern Europe varies a little bit by each country, but the overall message is the same. Good children receive gifts and bad children are warned to behave. This is like an earlier version of Santa Claus, which comes on the 24th of December.
But just to add a few more information about St. Nicholas Day, he sometimes has helpers that appear in the form of angels and devils. Either working alone or with his assistants, he asks children if they've been good, requests that they sing a song, or has them say a prayer before passing out small treats. Children who don't meet St. Nick in person put their shoe on the window's wheel, as we all know and as we all did, and they hope that they will be filled with candy and gifts overnight.
So we seem that we were some good girls and we got some good presents from for the St. Nicholas Day. So what do you say, Mihaela? Did you get some presents in this special day?
Well, if I think that way, I think that I received some presents, but I received them 1 week before St. Nicholas, so I don't think if they count or not. But leaving behind all this thing with the gifts and offering different and buying different things, I think that we should listen to a short insert about some bishops and canons from California that will talk a little bit about what actually means this holiday.
So let's hear next the material with Joy Rogers and Canon Jim Rezental.
It's the season of Santa Claus, and it seems he's everywhere. Children anxiously await the arrival of Santa, who is, of course, bearing gifts. But some Christians are worried that most of those children, and their parents as well, don't know who jolly old St. Nicholas really was.
St. Nicholas was a real person, not a fairy, not someone who's flying through the sky and with reindeer, but an actual person who lived and worked and died and had a full life. He had a Christian life because he was actually a bishop, a pastor.
As director of communications for the Worldwide Anglican Communion, Canon Jim Rosenthal was always on the lookout for images of bishops. He says he was captivated by a 4th century bishop named Nicholas. Now Rosenthal helps lead an international movement urging churches to reclaim St. Nicholas.
I believe that St. Nicholas and his tradition is something that needs to be recovered, and now.
Rosenthal is founder of the UK-USA St. Nicholas Society.
The children are getting these that say, I met the real and true Santa Claus and Father Christmas.
Every year he dresses up like St. Nicholas, complete with the bishop's staff, called a crozier, and his distinctive hat, called a mitre.
I have to decide if I should wear one of those mitres or this mitre. This is the most pretty one.
He visits churches to help spread the St. Nicholas message.
You.
If we don't recover this tradition, I believe we are going to eventually lose Christmas, any semblance of a religious Christmas.
Nicholas was born in Asia Minor when the new Christian faith was beginning to spread across the Roman Empire.
He came from a very wealthy family. His parents died at an early age. His uncle was a priest. That was the undivided church in those days. There was no Roman Catholic Church or other kinds of churches, one church. And he became a priest like his uncle.
Nicholas rose to leadership in the early church and was named Bishop of Myra, a city on the southern coast of what is now Turkey. During a time of persecution by Roman Emperor Diocletian, Nicholas was imprisoned for his outspoken faith. He was eventually released and continued his ministry until his death on December 6th in the year 343.
And he was known for his generosity and his goodwill because he was very rich. He literally, by the end of his life, gave away all of his fortune. Many stories talk about the fact that he was so generous that he became known as the gift giver.
More and more churches in the U.S. and the U.K. are finding ways to keep the St. Nicholas stories alive. For example, the Episcopal Cathedral of Chicago hosted a special St. Nicholas exhibit.
The stories of St. Nicholas are wonderful stories of a bishop who cared about his people, who cared very much about the poor.
There are numerous tales of Nicholas doing good deeds, performing miracles, calming the seas, stopping famine, and rescuing children. Separating truth from myth can be difficult.
My guess is that some of the fanciful stories that have moved into the realm of legend and miracle had their roots in very concrete acts of very real kindness and generosity.
One of the most famous stories involves a poor family who couldn't afford marriage dowries for their three daughters.
The parents were going to have to sell them off into slavery or into prostitution or whatever, and St. Nicholas came by the house at night and dropped off three bags of gold coins.
Some legends say he secretly tossed the bags of gold through an open window, and one landed in stockings or shoes that were drying by the fire, thus launching the tradition of the Christmas stocking. Pawnbrokers have especially embraced the story.
If you go to a pawnbroker shop, you'll see three gold balls. Those represent the three bags of gold, which we now turn into chocolate coins, that St. Nicholas threw through the window to save three girls from slavery or prostitution.
Nicholas has been adopted by many groups beyond pawnbrokers.
So many people love him, and so many people wanted him as theirs, that he's the patron saint of almost everything. Unwed women, children, which of course is the most prominent, pawnbrokers, sailors and merchants and cookie makers, apothecaries, I mean, you just name it, and he has something to do with it.
Many European countries have a long tradition of celebrating the feast day of St. Nicholas on December 6th. Then St. Nicholas evolved into Santa Claus and got all tied up with Christmas.
If you look at the words, the name Santa Claus, you will see it's Santa means saint, and Claus is simply an abbreviation from Nicholas. But the reality is he became a secular image.
Not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there.
American writers and advertisers helped disseminate a new myth that made no mention of the jolly old saint's religious connections.
We always talk about roots and being politically correct. Let's be politically correct about Santa Claus and give him his proper title.
Church leaders emphasize that St. Nicholas's generosity was motivated by his Christian faith. The saint was following Jesus' commands to love others, help those who are suffering, give sacrificially, and to do one's good deeds in secret. They say Nicholas is a reminder that Christmas is really about the coming of Jesus.
The problem with Santa Claus as it stands now is it's a substitute for Christmas. Santa Claus instead of the creche, instead of the manger, instead of the nativity scene. This man we would find kneeling at the nativity scene, saying this is what I'm here to celebrate as well.
Nicholas may have been called the gift giver, but Christians teach that on Christmas, God gave the world the ultimate gift, Jesus.
Symbolically, as a Christian leader, St. Nicholas is pointing, like other Advent stories, pointing towards this event called Christmas, which as Christians we believe is the most wonderful night of the year.
And that, they say, is the true meaning of St. Nicholas.
So a lot of interesting things come straight from Canada. And just to add a little more information, I know that in Prague, Saint Nick and his helpers publicly usually reward children. The best of this fun holiday can be witnessed on Old Town Square, where many groupings of three Merry Winter characters congregate to celebrate the holiday and recognize the original Saint Nicholas's association with gift-giving.
Yes, and depending upon the religious affiliations of the country, Saint Nicholas may either be celebrated on the 6th of December in the Western calendar or on the 19th of December in the Eastern Orthodox calendar. While most of the countries of East and East Central Europe observe Saint Nicholas Day on the 6th, Orthodox countries like Ukraine mark this holiday on the 19th. So it seems like there are special days for different countries and for different dates, it seems. It's not the same for all.
Yes, and even though Santa Claus that we all know comes in the night of the 23 to 24th December is very, very highly mediated, so to speak, I think that Saint Nicholas has his own merits and people actually do appreciate him and wait always for his arrival. But after all this information, I think that we should take a small break, right?
Yes, that's right. Well, I guess the meanings of the holidays are the same. It doesn't depend on the date that they are celebrated. And because we are in the season of carols and holidays, let's hear some good music and also, why not, some carols. We'll be back on UBB Radio Online with Eurotalk. Enjoy the music.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look at 5 and 10, listening once again, with candy canes and silver lanes aglow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots is the wish of Barney and Ben. Doubtful will talk and will go for a walk is the hope of Janice and Jen. And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
There's a tree in the Grand Hotel, one in the park as well, a sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start,
and the thing that will make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Right within your heart, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Christmas.
Outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping. Lights are turned down low, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you'll really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. As long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Doesn't care if it's 10 below, you're sitting by the fire. He don't care about the cold and the winds that blow. He just says, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Let it snow.
Ooh-wee, calls the star. Why should he worry when he's nice and warm? His gal by his side and the lights turn low.
snow, he just says, let it snow, let it snow.
I don't care.
Weather outside is frightful, but that fire is delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I've brought lots of corn for popping. The lights are way down low, so let it snow, let it snow, let it snow,
let it snow.
When we finally say goodnight, how I'll hate going out of the storm. But if you'll only hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbye. Long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Rocking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring. Later we'll have some pumpkin pie and we'll do some caroling. You will get a sentimental feeling when you hear voices singing, let's be jolly, deck the halls with boughs of holly. Rocking around the Christmas, have a happy holiday. Everyone dancing merrily in the new old-fashioned way.
One horse sleigh. Giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet.
We are now back on UBB Radio Online on our special show Eurotalk every Thursday from 6 to 7. Before the break we talked a little bit about how St. Nicholas came to us last night, but now let's just get to some things that are more serious, like the fact that Cluj-Napoca actually will be the European Youth Capital in 2015. I know that we've mentioned it a lot, but we've managed to talk with some persons and find a little bit more information about it.
Yes, there are expected to be more projects for Cluj-Napoca and for the students who want to get involved in all kinds of activities, and they are waiting to enter on the website of European Youth Capital from Cluj. And what we will say is that Cluj-Napoca will follow other European capitals like Rotterdam, which was capital in 2009, then Torino from Italy in 2010, then Antwerp from Belgium in 2011, Braga from Portugal in 2012, Maribor from Slovenia 2013, and Thessaloniki from Greece in 2014. So next is Cluj-Napoca from Romania. So we will see the projects they have to make for this project for the European Youth Capital. So Mihaela, what do you have next for us?
I think that I'll add more information, and I'll have to say that as we talked last week with one of the representatives that was here at our special show, he said that the Romanian city won the title for its ambitious SHARE project that was focusing especially on partnership, tolerance and multiculturalism. As a university center, Cluj-Napoca also aims to improve communication between the municipality and youth organizations, as well as to mobilize volunteers from the student community. I know that actually our mayor, Emil Boc, was saying that the students had a lot to say in this program, and actually the students are the engine that actually puts in motion our town, Cluj-Napoca. Also, the title of European Youth Capital is said to be granted every year to a city that encourages youth participation, but not only at local level, also in connection with the European level.
Holding the title means that the winning city has the opportunity to showcase in its youth-related cultural, social, political and economic achievements for 1 year. So this is a great opportunity for Cluj and for its students and youth and who else wants to get involved in this project. But for now, let's go on with the show and we will hear some good music again with some carols and other songs that we have prepared for you. So let's hit the play button and we will come back on UBB Radio Online with our weekly show Eurotalk.
Cheer to young and old, meek in the bold. Ding dong, ding dong, that is the song with joyful ring. All caroling, one seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere. Filling the air, oh, how they pound, raising their sound. O'er hill and dale, telling their tale.
So we are back at UBB Radio Online with our show Eurotalk. If before the break we talked about the European Youth Capital, next we will have an interesting subject, or at least Mihaela is extremely interested in this subject, about the meteor shower list. So let's hear what she has to say about this subject.
Well, for all the persons that are interested in stars and watching the stars, I say that the night of the 13th of December is very important. You will have the chance to go outside, find a dark spot and look north, northeast, near the constellation of Gemini, for the Gemini is radiant. Meteor showers are strictly for night owls and early rises. The best time to view the Geminides is from around midnight to dawn. They are of average speed, but very colorful, so you should be able to see 120 strikes an hour or more during the peak. The Geminides meteor shower is actually active from the 7th December to the 17th, with fewer activities, but on Thursday night, on the 13th December 2012, when early moves through the center of the dust trail left behind by the asteroid, the Geminides meteor shower will be actually active from the 7th of December to the 17th, but with fewer activity either side of the peak time. However, on the Thursday night, on the 13th of December, when the Earth moves through the center of the dust trail left behind by the asteroid, we will have a spectacular light show offered by this Geminide.
So, as fascinating as it can be, the story that Mihaela presented to us, we will hear next the material from some specialists that will give us more details about this event, and for sure we will be there, we will be everywhere, let's say better, to watch the star fall in December on the 13th. So, let's hear the material.
What's up for December? Starry fireworks end the year with a bang. Hello and welcome. I'm Jane Houston Jones at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California. The constellation Gemini, the twins, is one of the dazzling winter constellations. Gemini will rise in the northeast near the beautiful constellation Orion. The Geminid meteor shower is usually one of the best of the year. Though the shower's peak is brief, on the night of December 13th and 14th, up to 120 meteors per hour are predicted if you live in an area with dark skies. You'll see some meteors before and after the peak days, too. If you have a dark sky, you'll also see the winter Milky Way rising between Orion and Gemini, bisecting the sky. The constellations Perseus and Cassiopeia are nearly overhead and are easy to see, even from the city. If you haven't tried to find the asteroids Ceres and Vesta yet, they're at their best this month too. And they're easy to find near Jupiter. All three objects reach opposition in December when they're best for viewing. Mercury, Venus, and Saturn line up in the pre-dawn sky from the 9th through the 21st. Finally, on December 25th, watch Jupiter next to the moon an hour past sunset. To study the stars and planets, and to learn about all of NASA's missions, visit www.nasa.gov. That's all for this month. I'm Jane Houston Jones.
So a lot of useful information. Be sure that you are out there on the night of the 13th of December and watch the stars and the colorful lights that will fall from the sky. But however, let's just now take a short break and move from all these interesting details and move to more serious ones. And I think that after the break, we will be back with some European subjects and see what actually happened over the last few days in Europe. And at the same time, we will see what we'll have to expect next from our European Union. So we'll be back after a short break here at Eurotalk on UBB Radio Online.
You tell all the boys no, makes you feel good, yeah. I know you're out of my league, but that won't scare me away, oh no. You've carried on so long, you couldn't stop if you tried it. You've built your wall so high that no one could climb it. But I'm gonna try, would you let me see beneath your beautiful, would you let me see beneath your perfect. Take it off now, girl. Take it off now, girl. I wanna
beneath your beautiful night.
In a parallel universe.
where nothing breaks and nothing hurts. There's a waltz playing frozen in time, blades of grass on tiny bare feet. I look at you and you're looking at me. Could you beam me up? Give me a minute. I don't know what I'd say in it. Probably just stare, happy just to be there, holding your face. Beam me up. Let me be lighter. Tired of being a fighter, I think. A minute's enough, just beam me up. Saw a blackbird soaring in the sky, barely a breath, I caught one last sight. Tell me that was you saying goodbye. There are times I feel the shivering cold. It only happens when I'm on my own. I tell me I'm not alone. Could you beam me up? Give me a minute. I don't know what I'd say in it. I'd probably just stare, happy just to be there, holding your face. Beam me up. Let me be lighter. I'm tired of being a fighter, I think. A minute's enough. Just beam me up. I break in two and now there's one of me with you. Can I send you a sign? I'll burn a candle and turn off the lights. I'll pick a star and watch you shine. Just beam me up. Give me a minute. I don't know what I'm saying. I'd probably just stare, happy just to be there.
Hello, we are back at UBB Radio Online with our weekly show Eurotalk. If before the break we've talked about astronomical and meteorological events such as the Gemini starfall, now we will talk about some European news and we'll start with the winner of the European Film Academy for Shorts Film Award. The winner is a man from Cluj who made the movie Superman, Spider-Man or Batman for sure that you've heard about it. And the film shows an episode from the life of a 5-year-old child who begins a small journey to the hospital in order to see his mother. The child wants to rescue her as most of the comic book's heroes could, and he's taking a bag with a secret cure. Throughout the movie, Aaron, as the name of the little boy is, keeps the content of his bag a secret from his father and anybody who asks. The EFA, the European Film Awards, were granted on December the 1st, and Tudor Giorgio's film, Superman, Batman or Spider-Man, was awarded with the European Film Awards Short Film Award. What he says about this experience is that it took more than 2 years after I've read a wonderful script and after receiving the production grant from the Romanian fund. I was too busy with other projects and I've waited to be able to focus on the short. More information about directors I will tell you now. He was born in 1972 in Cluj-Napoca in Romania. Tudor Giurgiu is also a member of the European Film Academy founder and the president of the Transylvania IFF and the Full Moon Horror and Fantasy Festival and an initiator of the GOPO Awards, Romania's National Film Awards. He is founder of the production company Libra Film, the film distribution company Transylvania Film and co-founder of local exhibitor Cityplex. Tudor's debut feature, Love Sick, was selected for the panorama section of the 2006 Berlin and Berlin Film Festival and awarded at several international festivals. Between 2005 and 2007, he served as general director of Romanian National Television, TVR. Tudor was involved as main producer in Cătălin Varga by Peter Strickland, awarded with a Silver Bear at the 2009 Berlin International Film Festival and as European Discovery at the European Film Awards. Also, Mission of the Human Resources Manager by Erin Riklis and Sandra Esang by Fanny Ardant. His second feature of Snails and Men is the local box office hit in Romania. So let's hear how he answered to some interviews and some questions that were addressed to him. To the question addressed to him, which thoughts come into his mind concerning a European cinema community, he answers by saying, diversity, good films and passion. Also, when he was asked if he owned a theater for one night, which film would he screen? He answered that Roman Polanski's Knife in the Water, Federico Fellini's La Dolce Vita, François Truffaut's Jules et Jim, and Milos Forman's Love of a Blonde for the Sunrise. What will be his next project? He said that the feature Christian, a political thriller inspired by real facts about a young prosecutor who commits suicide when he realizes his moral values that are totally different from the values of the system he is working for. So we will say good luck to Tudor Giurgiu with his next project, and we will go on with the situation from Palestine. The United Nations General Assembly on Thursday endorsed an upgraded UN status for the Palestinian Authority despite intense opposition from the United States and also from Israel. The resolution elevates their status from non-member observer entity to non-member observer state, the same category as the Vatican, which Palestinians hope will provide new leverage in their dealing with Israel. Its leaders had been working with dozens of supporting nations to develop a formal draft, enlisting the backing of European countries such as France and Spain. The vote was 138 delegates in favor of the measure and 9 against and 41 abstentions, including Germany. Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas said the move, which many call symbolic, represents a last chance to save the two-state solution. It comes off the heels of an 80-day conflict that raged between Israel and Hamas fighters, where a series of airstrikes and rocket launches drew international attention and threatened regional stability. We did not come here seeking to delegitimize a state established years ago, and that is Israel. Rather, we came to affirm the legitimacy of the state that must now achieve its independence, and that is Palestine, he said. But Israel's United Nations ambassador Ron Prosser said that the move said that the move largely ignores the specifics of long-standing issues such as settlements in disputed lands and cannot substitute for direct negotiations between Jerusalem and Ramallah. This resolution doesn't pursue peace, Prosser said, criticizing Abbas for being unable to represent the Gaza Strip, where a Hamas-controlled government presides. Well, even though the situation in Palestine is not in a good light and is not in a peace right now, we will see next how it goes with the new status that they got, which is the non-member observer state, rather than non-member observer entity. So, even though there were countries that were against and some were pro, we will see how the situation from Palestine will evolve and what will be the reactions from US, from the European Union and from other continents. So Mihaela, let's see what do you have next for us, because I already told my stories, so let's our listeners to hear some more.
So to bring up a little bit more information about what will happen this week on the European Union territory, I will talk about the Mobile Gaming EU. This will take place in London in the United Kingdom at the Regent's Park Marriott Hotel. Starting with the 6th of December, starting from today until tomorrow, the London-based Mobile Gaming EU event will reveal how developers can understand their players and what they're thinking, enabling them to make a game that can become a success across all markets. Some of the speakers will include Gree, Metaflow, Rovio and Thumbstar, while EA, Disney and Glu will be among attendees. Next, I will try an answer to a question that has been up in our minds lately, about the fact that if this is the last year for the Eurovision. Eurovision is actually that song contest where every European state has the right to enroll one participant that will prove that he is the best and take the title of the best song and the best interpret back home in his country. The reason for which Eurovision is actually on the edge, and this might be the last edition, is the fact that four nations have withdrawn from the 2013 competition because they are too cash-strapped to enter and fear the cost of hosting 2014 edition if they win. So this is actually a problem. I know that Romania actually lately has been set on good places, hasn't won yet, but has high chances. So let's just hope that this is not the last edition of Eurovision and that we will be hearing from our neighbors over the board furthermore. After all these problems with Eurovision, I will talk furthermore about the fact that Italy might be the one to bridge the gap between North and South Europe. With Europe continuing to face difficult economic circumstances, 2013 will be another crucial year. With growth and debt reduction forecasts from Spain, Italy, Greece, Portugal and Eurozone overall, the tensions between the northern creditor countries of the Eurozone and the southern countries are only set to increase. That is why the Italian Prime Minister Mario Monti has emerged as a better respected interlocutor with Germany in particular than his predecessor and achieved significant gains for the southern European states in the European Council meeting in July, where it was agreed in principle to allow the European Stability Mechanism to recapitalize banks directly. With Monti's imminent departure in March and the continued risk to the EU's economy, this debate will address the question of whether Italy can help achieve a grand Bahrain to ensure the survival of the Eurozone. So that was all for today.
We will meet again next week from 18 to 19 at Eurotalk only at UBB Radio Online.